Hello and welcome to the Saxo market call on Monday, the 14th of March, 2022. Another week ahead of us in what seems to be, in some regards, a very new world. A lot of things are moving around, especially in commodities, but also certainly in equities. And we have had some pretty wild moves overnight. We ended Friday on a weak note with U.S. technology stocks leading the declines, but you know Chinese ADRs were also in the back because of these new SEC rules that will soon apply to a lot of Chinese companies that they need to provide much more in terms of auditing, which I don't think will happen. So as we have said, there will be a disengagement of Chinese companies across U.S. exchanges. So if you want Chinese exposure, as we have said repeatedly on this podcast, but also in client presentations, go for the Hong Kong or mainland exchanges, which you can access on Saxo's trading platform. Don't use the US ADRs. So with that out of the way, let's turn our attention to China. So what happened over the weekend and this morning? A couple of regions have entered a lockdown, with the most severe one being Shenzhen, which is an area with 17.5 million residents in that city alone, and the wider region is obviously much more. It's one of the world's most important manufacturing export hubs, most particularly in electronics. It will impact Apple, so of course watch that stock today. It's also the fourth largest container port. So we'll talk about that in terms of what that means for logistics companies later on the podcast, but this is pretty major. And that combined with weak sentiment out of China, we had the Russia trying to pleading for help, basically, as more than half of their reserves have been frozen and inaccessible. So there's a lot of focus on China right now. And I've put in here on slide 2, 10 cents weekly share price since 2004 on a log chart. So you can really see how things are slowing down and we are in a very ugly sell-off. Tencent shares were down 10% alone today on the wide variety of news coming out of China. So this is very key, a very key thing to watch, I think, if you're following the equity space. And then before we pull you in, Ole, on commodities, we're seeing a big move today as well in dollar yen spot. So we had a major breakout. You can see here on slide 3, this is a weekly chart, but there was a major breakout on Friday on the daily chart, where we took out the two previous highs this year, and we took that out with a very solid Friday close, and it has extended this morning. And there is a very clear fault line going on across currencies right now in the world, where the countries that are very heavy commodity importers are being punished relative to the dollar or currencies from commodity exporters. Very natural, but that's how it works. So typically when the dollar yen would explode like this, you would say this is major risk off. And the reason why we're not seeing it in equities is because the dynamic this time around is more driven by the commodities. And this is where you come into the picture, Ole, because the commodity market is still very much volatile and very much very very much hot, I would say.
Oh, yes, indeed. But we're seeing some weakness this morning as we kick off another week. I think the market is still suffering from trading fatigue after the phenomenal ranges that and volatility that we saw last week. But there are some talks ongoing between Moscow and Ukraine, and the president or prime minister of Ukraine basically said that they were looking a little bit more promising than he felt they'd done in the past. So so the market is leaning on that comment, taking oil prices down by 3.5%, and then the China story, as you mentioned, Peter, is having a negative impact on industrial metals, anything from copper to steel and iron ore. Iron ore, I think, last look was down 9% on the day. It's having a negative impact on industrial metals, concerning the importance of not only China as a commodity consumer, but also that port as a key hub for importing commodities. It could risk that we see slowdown in the short term. But also the Omicron impact in such a large part of the such a big population may also just dampen some of the worries in the oil market, because that could also have a soothing impact on the demand. I think we are seeing already, and saw that last week from specific industries, demand starting to be negatively impacted by the very high prices we saw in not so much crude oil, but the derivatives, the fuel products, where we saw record highs in some like diesel and gasoline. So that's having an impact. But I just want to highlight, before we go back to this week's another week highlight of the week, the FOMC on Wednesday, the speculative report that we, or the commodity report that we get every Friday from the US authorities, the CUT report. We did see some interesting developments here on slide 5 in today's deck. Just highlighting that it was a week where you can see price changes on the far right. You can see we had some massive surges across many of the different commodities, but in general the net length was actually reduced, and that has a lot of that has to do with the fact that when the volatility goes up, as a fund looking after investor money, they have quite often targeted a certain level of volatility. As volatility goes up, they have to reduce exposure, no matter whether it's a profit or a loss making position. And I think that's part of the story that if you look at the energy space, where we can see quite significant reductions across the whole energy space last week, even as prices were rallying anywhere between 20 and up towards 40%. So this is highlighting the market, which is just simply want to get their risk cut down, because this market is just pretty much close to impossible to trade right now. So quite big reductions. And just finally, before we move on, the precious metal space, you can see we saw 12 months plus highs in gold, silver and platinum, basically fear of missing out the rally where we on Tuesday were just a few bucks away from hitting a record high. We know what happened since then. The market has dropped quite a bit, and part of that drop has been driven by recently established longs just scrambling to get back out again, or at least get their positions reduced.
All right. Before we go to some single stock stories, Ole, I think we need to talk about one of the big key events this week. So obviously the war in Ukraine will drive market headlines. I'm also very curious to see how China, more responds to this plea from Russia to help Russia economically and also militarily in this whole conflict. I think that's one of the key risks as well to watch, and then how also the lockdowns in some of the regions in China are impacting global supply chains. But then, and we have the FOMC, which is another key event, Ole, and you've put in here on slide 4 sort of a backdrop of information that the FOMC obviously is looking at and contemplating. And we have a yield curve that is just ugly flat, which is suggesting that the market is saying, okay, there is a real risk of recession here. So, the FOMC will have to balance, inflationary pressures and potential recession in a stagflation type environment. But what else are you sort of thinking about in terms of this event?
Well, most certainly that is a balancing act, but at the same time they have a clear mandate or been given a clear mandate to get inflation under control. Whether we can control inflation when it's input costs through commodities being part of the story, whether that can be controlled by interest rates obviously remains to be seen. But I think they want to be seen as firm, and the market is basically telling them to go ahead as well. One thing is what they want or what they fear, what they do. Another thing is what the market is telling them to do. So at this point in time, there is a free option just to at least to get started. A 50 basis points can probably not be ruled out, but we'll see how the market takes this. And just to take the link over to the commodity space, back to gold again, because gold, we have seen in the past where gold quite often has actually found a low point around the time of the first rate hike. Obviously this time around we're not trading from a point of weakness, we're trading from a point of strength. But nevertheless, the market will be be somewhat jittery ahead of the announcement on Wednesday. But as you can see on the chart, we and as I mentioned earlier, we got within a few bucks of the record high from 2020. Since then, we've come back down, but we found support at that 1960 level. That is really the key level that needs to hold. As long as we do that, then the correction, even though it's been quite substantial, will only still be regarded as a small correction within the firm uptrend. So we'll see. And I think that what's supporting gold still is the fact that even though we've got nominal yields moving higher overnight, it is moving higher because break-even, i.e., inflation expectations are moving higher. So that's keeping real yields anchored around that pretty close to that negative 1%. And maybe just to finish off the commodity space, Peter, we just have to mention nickel because a major debacle in the commodity futures trading futures market last week, as we all know by now. On Monday and Tuesday, nickel spiked by 250%, a complete unheard of move, led to the exchange in London canceling all trades done last Tuesday. Basically, all trades from, I think, believe up to from around 48,000 all the way up to above 100,000 were canceled. It left the market in disarray. We still don't know when the market will open. They're still trying to sort out the mess between a massive short that doesn't want to budge and the rest of the market where a lot of been severely hurt by this. But looking at where Shanghai is trading or has been trading since last week, the current price in London potentially could be more than 40% lower when we eventually open.
All right, and not a good segue, but we have to talk a little bit about single equities. I'll try to make it short today because there's always so many things you could highlight. But the three main takeaways, except for the Chinese technology stocks we already mentioned, I would add the Volkswagen. So they're reporting their Q4 more officially earnings tomorrow, but they pre-released on Friday. Not sure why. Well, the stock price has been quite weak. So, but I think they sense that they had a pretty good and positive story, and the market sort of agrees. The share price were up 5% in pre-market trading this morning. There are a lot of positive surprises in the pre-release. So they have hedged a lot of their commodity exposure, but they will be impacted. But I think the market was pleasantly surprised about their operating margin expectations for this fiscal year in 2022, despite everything that is going on. So it seems like Volkswagen have been pretty much ahead of the curve and been good at planning their production and hedged their commodity risk at this point in time. On Tuesday, so that is tomorrow. Of course, I'll be looking into the finer details. We need to pull out the electric vehicle deliveries for Q4 and make a little bit of a splash of what's really going on here in that space. And then just the takeaway, no official mention of that on either Reuters or Bloomberg or anything, but there's this block network called Betterville. And on that Betterville block network, there was rumors and talks about that Just Eat takeaway is which is it's a very large company here in Europe on in food delivery, listed both in London and the Amsterdam Stock Exchange, and the share price were up 15%. There are rumors that, according to people that are close to these talks, that there are potential takeover talks between Just Eat takeaway and some, I don't know, a company or a group. We'll have to figure out. I guess the company will have to speak out today, I guess, when you have such a big move on Friday. So that's obviously a stock that is worth watching. Look here at slide 8 at their terrible share price performance. It reached 110 at the highs in Q4 2020, and it closed at 31 euros on Friday. So that's a big move there. And then the logistics firms, you know, the lockdowns in several regions in China will add more pressure, more bottlenecks in global supply chains, and that means that, you know, potentially freight prices and et cetera will continue to rise, and that will boost logistics companies and their stock prices potentially this week. So that's something to watch as well today. And I think that's a nice lead-in, because on slide 9, we're talking about earnings, and on Thursday we'll have FedEx. So would be very interesting to see whether FedEx will have something to say about the situation in out of these manufacturing hubs in China. On Wednesday, Inditex and Lennar will report. I don't really find the Inditex story that interesting, but it's a very big stock here in Europe and specifically in Spain. I think the Lennar story is much more interesting to follow because it's one of the largest home builders in the US. And we know the US housing starts and permits are really at I don't think record levels, but they are at some pretty extraordinarily high levels, despite the rising interest rates and all the volatility we're seeing in the economy. And then, of course, again, Volkswagen reporting more officially tomorrow. I've put in a little insert here on slide 9 with some commentaries on the pre-release result, and you can see that Volkswagen share price. I mean, but what a volatile share price this company has seen over the past 5 years. Incredible. And then on the macro calendar, it's empty today, but there we have three central banks reporting. Sorry, not reporting, but making rate decisions. So the FOMC on Wednesday, Bank of England on Thursday, and then Bank of Japan on Friday, with the FOMC and Bank of England, of course, being the most notable rate decisions to be following this week, because both central banks are expected to move and tightening their monetary policies. Whereas Bank of Japan, that would be a very big surprise if they are doing anything. Tomorrow we have the CDW survey for March, so that will be one of the first sort of leading indicators on sentiment here in Europe following that war in Ukraine that started 3 weeks ago. Otherwise, we'll talk about the calendar tomorrow. I don't think we need to pay more special attention to some of these details right now. Are there anything I've missed in terms of the calendar? Are there any commodities, EIA reports or stockpile reports? Are there anything today?
Not today, no. We may get some oil reports later this week. That will be in tomorrow's calendar. But I think apart from that, just a note out there that the U.S. changed their clocks over the weekend. So for the next 2 weeks, the U.S. markets will open, and economic data will open an hour earlier than we are used to. So just so we don't get caught out on that in such an important week with numbers coming from the U.S. and data from the FOMC.
Excellent. I think that's a wrap for today's Saxo Market Call, and just wish you everyone safe trading out there, and stay safe in general, of course. And Ole and I, and I think I hopefully John Hardy will be back on this podcast tomorrow morning at the same time and place. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call, or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.